speaker. And it is Vincent Ng, one of our newer elders. He's going to come and speak to us. Next week is going to be actually another different speaker. I don't know if I should keep it a surprise. Maybe I shouldn't. But we're having a preaching team put together in the church, and some of our elders, as well as other people in the church community, have been willing to step up and be trained as preachers if they haven't been so already. Vincent is actually a pastor in his own right. He's been a pastor in Hong Kong. He's been a pastor in the prairies, a pastor here in Vancouver. And he has most recently joined the OMF to work. But he is also here amongst us. He is part of our church family. I'd like to welcome him now to speak to us. Let me pray for you, Vincent, before we all begin. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for who you are. And we listen with anticipation for your voice. And so we ask your blessing upon your servant, that your spirit might indwell him in such a manner that we are able to hear not just his voice, but your voice through him and in him, and through the word of your scripture. We pray this in the name of Christ and the power of your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ted.
It's okay. No.
I just want to shake hands. That's it. Thank you for that. Thank you for the prayer. Guess what? I'm very apprehensive for preaching for today, because I never realized that I'm so tired. It's work. It's just work. I thought that I could participate with the church retreat, which I can't. Just few days before the FEC church retreat, I was in my organization's so-called retreat, but it's actually whole day, whole evening, the working, having planning for next year and so on and so forth. It was exhausted. And then they thought that, oh, we should get up some activities. So we walk on the island, one of the islands, near Vancouver Island, called Main Island. What? Hiking every day, morning till dusk, and then I was, in one point I just, go ahead, you guys go ahead, I'll wait here. And then you know what, my co-worker, actually my boss, come to me, said, could you walk faster? I can't. No, my foot sucks, my brain sucks, I virtually hate it. Because I sort of want to reserve some energy so that I could go to Pemberton and then, be with the rest of my family, church family. But after that, I was... Anyway, after that, I thought that, okay, we get over that. And then, yesterday... our organization have an open house barbecue thing. So nice barbecue, right? We just stand on in front of the grill and that's it. But no, I'm not. My boss is always asking me, hey, this and that event, right, Vincent? He's not asking me, but his eyes is. So I'm standing at the back and then, so and so forth. By the time I get to my place at 9-ish, I felt that I haven't eaten. I'm so hungry. So that's my last few weeks of my work week, and then I'm exhausted. Even when I get up to here, I realize that God, I can't even stand up. I'm really tired. And then how could I, as Pastor Ted said that, deliver the sermon, I said, And even he introduced that I was a pastor. I'm still a pastor, but how could a pastor preach like this? But anyway, thanks to church giving me this opportunity to preach. Actually, this preaching arrangement have a little beautiful misunderstanding. A few weeks ago, probably somewhere in June, I came up to Pastor Ted. asking that, hey, according to the schedule, am I going to preach in 1 Thessalonians? And he checked up. Oh, you haven't got the update. I said, no. And then he flipped his device and then, oh, ah, let me get my update to you. So I said, ah, so be it. I just wait, right? But during that waiting period, I mean waiting time, so I start on to do this 1 Thessalonians, and this is, I chose the passage, chapter 3, verses 9 to 13, and as my text, and I even pick up the sermon title, is the Getting the DNA of Jesus. It's about prayer. Marvelous. But until I check on my email box and then realize that, no, I'm not. I thought I was in July 24th. No! I put up on the new one. It's August 7th. Huh? And the passage is, oh my goodness, that's different. It's okay. Well, you know, this is part of the fun being a pastor. I mean, yeah. Well, so in that case, yes. Today's text is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I pick up the passage 11 and 12, two verses. And the theme is also about prayer. And the sermon title, instead of the DNA of Jesus, yes, I put it as, let this be our prayers. And without further ado, let me converse the text with you. So over the past 35 years or so, evangelical interest in the classical spiritual disciplines has grown exponentially, thanks to the groundbreaking works of writers like Richard Foster, Dallas Willard, and Henry Nouwen. We increasingly understand, as Nouwen expressed it, that the spiritual life involves human effort. Our spiritual life involves human effort. A disciplined embrace of such concrete means of grace as prayer, as silence, as worship, as simplicity, and as also service to others. One of the writer or theologians, you could call him, is Gordon Smith. I admire him. I talk to him a few times, even I'm not a region alumni. He's now as a president and professor of systematic theology at Ambrose in Calgary. He applauds these developments within a traditional context that he focused not only the evangelism and conversion, but he also asked in one of his newer books called Call to be Saints, an invitation to Christian maturity. Gordon Smith answered the question about is there any underlying purpose of the spiritual disciplines? He answered like this. He said that we do these things to grow as believers. We do all these spiritual disciplines in order to become more holy. Alongside with that, I mean, based on that, I really would like to use this passage as the text to discuss with you about prayer. Sometimes we pray for what we desire. Oh Lord, I want to have this. I really need that. But you know what? That is not exactly what we actually need. And then our prayer is, yes, most of our prayer sometimes is according to our desire. And that's the reason why God is always silent. Because we pray for what we need and see how God will provide for all our needs. And then, as all you might know, all you might experience, that Christian life is not a bed of roses. We are not exempt from it. We are not exempt from troubles. We are not exempt from trials in our journey as Christians. We have trouble and trials with people. You know, I could tell you that, yes. I totally agree with this. As a pastor, you can't please anyone. Especially, in the previous times, I served in in numerous Chinese churches. That is hard. I don't know whether you're with me, but within Chinese churches context, it's very hard. And then until now, I work as in a more of a Caucasian context. Well, same thing. Even Caucasian is even harder sometimes. Anyway, yeah, Christian life, we do experience troubles and trials with people. We also experience troubles and trials with health issues. Growing up to this age, I mean, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but growing up with this age, I felt that, wow, it's okay. I mean, I at least I don't have mental health issues, okay? I hope. Well, but nowadays, really, especially in Canadian context, is that I heard so many mental issues. Not within grow-ups, especially within kids. How do we as parents, how do we pray for our, kids? Or even, me and Charlotte don't have kids, but then we pray for other kids. Especially Charlotte. She had that spirit. Once she saw any kid, no matter healthy or not healthy, I know that she already really into that. I mean, just like yesterday, we met up with a couple that have four kids. They are now based in Chengdu, China. And then the newest born, the one that just came out to this earth, is only less than four weeks. What an adorable kid. And then I know her. I know Charlotte. Oh. Yeah. Health issues. We do have troubles. We do have trials. And then we also have troubles and trials with different circumstances. Yeah. Even that, Canada, right? We are free of war. We don't have any terrorist attack. Not much. But within our society, still have challenges. I really appreciate that no matter Pastor Ted or Pastor Diana that leading us in prayer, that let us remember the struggles that within our core city, within our, not only downtown Eastside, but within our city, the issues that we have to cope with. So always remember that all through all these trials, troubles, our God, we see Him as a loving Father. Everything still passed through His own eyes. Everything is still under His nose. And everything come to an intrinsic purpose is to bring us to the end of our own resources and into the deep experience of all His riches. Yes, church, we do experience troubles. We do experience trials. But then, if we lift all these troubles and trials up onto His hands through prayer, we are experiences that, especially in the end of our own resources, we have get into the deep experience of His riches. So, in this passage, Paul did not ask God for the testing to cease or for relief from the pressure. I don't know whether Pastor Diana, I haven't heard through her sermon. I hope that she did give you some background about the Thessalonian church. As a matter of fact, the church experienced troubles within within in the church community. They have their they experience persecution from outside, and they also within in themselves they have different views on the second coming, the returning of the Lord. So they're kind of don't know what to do. But then Paul, as the founder of the church, wrote letters to them, saying that he's not asking God to just stop the testing, stop the seizing of everything, and release from the pressure. But Paul himself is actually praying for the strength and encouragement for this for the church. So let me talk a little bit. Refresh one another. What is prayer? What is this invariable discipline in a sense? And what is it all about, prayer? So when we are young, when we grew up in church, usually we said that, hey, prayer is simple, it's just an act, A-C-T-S. Ooh, what is that? What is A stand for? Well, A is outpouring of praise. You know, sometimes it is so hard. When we pray, we always, hey God, we need this and that, and then we lift up so and so, and like that. How many times that when we do prayer, we spend maybe 80% of our prayer in just praising God? Hardly. My personal experience when I as a Christian until a pastor, even standing in front of the congregation and then leading prayer, you know, corporate prayer, we hardly really, you know, acknowledge God is our God. Acknowledge God is the so wonderful God, and then say, gave praises to Him. This is my journey though. Actually, in the last 10-15 years, I learned how to, I came to realize that prayer is actually praising God. Instead of really putting people first and then putting circumstances, trials, needs, I praise God. Praise God for we still have this life and breath. Praise God for He's still holding up the whole universe. If He's not holding up our universe, we are in big trouble. And praise God for the grace that He bestowed to us. I really appreciate that when Pastor Ted led us before the corporate prayer, he said that one thing, you know, you bring it to God. You know, at that little place that I sit, I say, God, thank you for the grace, salvation. Without that, I only have the life is only that short. But with the salvation, life is like that. This is only that few decades of my life, but there is eternity. God's grace. So church, every time from now on, I hope you, from now on, when you make a prayer, outpouring of praises, praise God. To a certain point that you almost forgot what you pray for, but just praise Him. Praise for His holiness. Praise for His presence in our lives. ACTS, the second acronym, C, is confession of wrong. This is something let me tell you, a pastor don't have a halo up here. We always make mistakes. Sometimes not only verbal, sometimes even our eyes, you know, make some mistakes. And those might be horrible mistakes. But always, confessions of wrong. T, statement of thanksgiving. Statements of thanks. Sometimes we took our lives, really take it for granted. Took the grace of God is really take it for granted. We have a decent life, we have a place to stay, we have families, we have extended families, sometimes we do take it for granted. But do thank God for every individual. Even troubles. Give thanks to God. Because in this point, you thought that troubles in it, under your nose, you said, ah, how could I deal with that? But you never know that along the road, along the way, that kind of trouble actually could be turned into blessings. How do I say it? Everybody should know, my mother tongue is not English. Okay, especially when I engage with this organization right now called OMF, I'm newbie. I'm really newbie within the organization, within the fellowship. So people, the first thing that we experience, I hate it. They always said, "Hey, Vincent, where are you from?" I said, same old. if I say that China, Hong Kong like that, then your mother tongue is not English, right? How come you are in OMF? You don't have that connection. And, yes. But then nowadays I realized that, hey, this is fun, this is good. Why OMF in the past CIM, China Inland Mission, exists is that someone called Hudson Taylor felt that need to evangelize China and Chinese people. And then right now is that we are kind of turning it around. It sounds like trouble, it sounds like difficulties in the past, but alongside is that it turns out that they're kind of, you know, I mean, I could sense that within this few months, they realized that it could be a possibility. It could be a possibility for OMF, instead of sending out missionaries out in Far East, is that they're training missionaries from Far East to come back to Canada, or come back to UK, come back to Europe to carry out the great mission of God. ACTS, the last one is that request for help, asking God. Well, as in the traditional church saying that supplication, asking for God's help. And that is almost our main thing as prayer. We ask God for help. And we ask God for His grace. And in this, you know, ACTS, the whole what is prayer is all about, I add up a little bit of my own experience, not only me but also Charlotte, is that intercession for others. I don't know how to put that I into the ACTS thing. But intercession is very important. It's also the something that God gave us, me and Charlotte, as a spiritual gift, that we do have that intercessory spirit to pray for one another. Not that I say that, I could pray every individual, but we just led by the Holy Spirit to give us this passion. And I hope that I also pray for each individual in this church also have that this particular gift to pray for one another. Not just, lay hands, hey George, I just want to pray for you. No. If you do sense that particular need that some individuals or couples do have, and pray for it. That's what me and Charlotte used to do, is that we never ever, you know, come up, hey Randy, let me pray for you. We used to do is that pray within ourselves, pray for some time, and let God lead us. I always pray to a certain point is that I need to look up to an authority. In this church is, of course, Pastor Ted. I ask him, I talk to him, blah, 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 like that, and then let him affirm me, because I know that he's also a prayer person. Before I came to join in this church, one thing that I really appreciate this gentleman, I don't want to say just fellow, Because church, we do have hierarchy. Okay, spiritual hierarchy, that he is my pastor. Okay, and then I have to respect him. Even he's younger, a lot younger than I do. So I still remember the first time I went to visit his little den in his place. I saw all this post-it on the wall. What is that? Especially I saw my name. Me, Vincent and Charlotte was there. I said, wow. Huh. No, he's not putting the duck in it. No. Don't worry about that. No. But he does, using that duck. He said, no. That's prayer. Prayer duck. Prayer person. Really good. I really appreciate that. So I asked him to affirm whether the Spirit leads us in the right direction or not. So church, really, not only prayer is not only just outpouring of praise, not only confession of wrongs, not only statement of thanks and request for help, but I also encourage you is to let the Holy Spirit to lead you to pray for one another. And may the Spirit of God will lead us as a corporate to really exercise what Paul said it in the last chapter, 1 Thessalonians, saying that pray without ceasing. And then the second thing I would like to share with you is that why is prayer important? Prayer actually is important because it refocuses our perspectives. In prayer, God shows us the hidden dimension of life. Because this is also our experience, is that sometimes we are too focused within our troubles. We are too focused in people's troubles. And then we never thought that, hey, God is actually have his own ways. It's way higher than our ways. His planning is way vast and bigger than our planning. We thought that we are doing something great. We are doing something marvelous. But actually, he is the one, God is the one to put everything together, not us. And then, prayer is important. Second point is that it quiets our fears. It quiets our fears. From time to time, as we engage with our lives, with difficulties, where could we get the comfort? Where do we really get the comfort? Through prayer. Because once we live it up to God, you can really sense that. Through prayer, it quiets our fears. And it also transfers our burdens. That's what actually Jesus said to us in Matthew. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Prayer, transfer our burdens to God. And prayer, it also upholds others who are in need. So, with that as the little background, let us come to this passage. Actually, this is taking out from the bigger picture. It's from the chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. That's the bigger picture. Until the bigger picture, then Paul said, with this in mind. So we have something in front of us. If I preach that thing plus this one, the church picnic will be here. So let me put that church, let me put the from first one to first ten into just four statements. Paul, he expressed in the verse 1 to 10, saying that actually four things. he mentioned about the thanksgiving of the Thessalonian church about their faith. He also affirmed the church of their perseverance that they experienced. And the third thing is that Paul assured them of God's justice will be happen. And fourth thing is that Paul encouraged them in the hope of the Lord's coming, the Lord's returning. So with that context, then Paul said, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you. Seeing that actually Paul knew about the whole situation of the Thessalonian church, they went through troubles. But with all this in mind, what did, as Paul said, we constantly pray for you. That's why when I was younger, way before I become a pastor, God called me into ministry, is that I really love to become Paul, the Apostle Paul, in my life. Because Paul, he himself demonstrate what kind of a Christian, everybody love to be modeled with. I love to pray for my congregants. As a pastor too, I don't have that little post-it, but I have Charlotte that, she did a fantastic job. Is that she's taking pictures for every church family in the church that I used to pastor. And then all these pictures, in those days, right now we do have device, but then in all those days, she developed in print to this 3 hour, 4 hour is bigger, 3 hour, yeah. Hold it. All layout in the wall of the den, and then we pray. Yes, church, if you just come here for a visit, come here for a visit. I hope you are not church hoping that you'll come and go. But if you are really a church hopper, do find a church with a pastor. Practice this. Constantly pray for you. And that's very important. So with this, the whole what Paul expressed in the first 10 verses, with that in mind, Paul said that we constantly pray for you. And then pray for you for what? For that our God may make you worthy of His calling. Instead of asking God to remove all the hardships and everything away, Paul prayed that God will make us the kind of children He wants us to be. Calling here actually means that the ultimate glory itself. Calling is from God. And then that ultimate glory is that it's not my glory. It's not my halo. It's all about God, not of man. And then we is not only Paul with Silas and also the rest of the bunches, that they're praying by the sanctifying work of God through the Word and the Spirit and even through their trials, that people would live in a manner that was consistent with their holy calling. The calling includes God's purpose for us here on earth and the believer's ultimate place in glory. Yeah. Simplify to say is that prayer make you worthy of His calling is all about the trust that we have in Him. We are not worthy. We possess no righteousness of our own. But God kind us with righteousness because we come to Him by faith. So after that, let us focus on the verse again. I mean the text again. Not only that, Paul constantly pray and for us, for people, that our God may make you worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. I put it in one word, is that to fulfill all goodness of God and to bring us all intentions to do good. The prayer is also covered, is that all intentions of God will be fulfilled in our lives, that we could finish the work of grace upon our souls. And not only so, the work of faith fulfilled with the power means also is that let us ask God to strengthen our faith in Him. This is not the faith that we have. This is the faith that God gave to us. Just like what Hebrews said, is that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. You know, when I driving out from our place to here, actually I'm scared. Because of the tiredness I experienced, I told myself that I'm grateful that for Charlotte, she offered that, why don't I drive? Yes, but if she drives, then we'll sure miss the first couple songs. I'm not saying that I'm speeding, okay? I just within the speed limit, okay? I won't follow, I won't just use one lane, I'll just, you know, like that. Wow, that's the difference between guys and girls, okay? I'm not saying ability, it's just the ways of doing things. Through that little stretch, actually I experienced that faith of God. Faith is not from me, but from Him. Because Charlotte keep on, you know, encouraging me. And to a certain point, she never read my text. But then she is actually comforting me. In a sense, is that faith is actually the assurance of things hoped for. Yeah, the things that I really hope for is that I could preach well. Okay. And then, when she prayed like that, within the little stretch that we're driving, yeah, it is. It is something that, at that point, I really needed from God, is that His assurance. And then the second part of that assurance is actually from Pastor Ted when he prayed for me, is that not that I preach. The word is not from me at all. The word is actually from God. So I really appreciate that. I mean, even I find out that I'm so inadequate, but God is helping me as a whole. So that in prayer like this, it's actually ask God to strengthen our faith in Him. And it also, a prayer like this is also let God enable us to demonstrate the reality of faith into action. Sometimes through prayer, we want relief. But you know what? God actually wants us deepening of our character. We want to say it's over, but God wants to say that the testing did its full works. We want out, but God wants us to see us through. So in the last part of this text, in verse 12, we pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer, we pray that Jesus Christ glorify in us and we in him. Let us pray that we fully live out of our faith in the midst of all our circumstances, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in us. That means that we live out our lives, people will see that we are different. You know, that also, you know, in a sense, it synchronizes what this church is all about. We live out as a church. We don't live out as just a group of people that attend an institution of a church every Sunday. We live it out as that every day of our lives, people, our neighbors, see us differently. You know, my neighbor, I have, you know, our place that we do have our neighbors on our left hand side and right hand side. Right hand side of my neighbors they are really difficult people, okay? But the left hand side is very nice guy. And then talk to him and for all these years, and you know, oh, his name's Jerry. And he said the first time he mentioned we do have conversation after few times, and then he said that, "Hey Vincent, you're different." Yeah, I'm different. Along the stretch of our roles, I mean the row, we are the only Asian family. Of course, we're different, right? All among all the Caucasians, yeah, we're different, yeah. Sometimes we have this shrimp paste, ha jiang chao tong choy, those, yeah, we're different, yeah, yeah. No, you're different. Is that you don't, you know, when you shuffle your snow, you don't... shuffle to my place. When you mow your lawn, you won't, you know, you don't do real things. I said, okay, that kind of different. I take it. Okay, yeah, we won't do that. But then you are a little bit different from that. I said, what was that little bit different from that? So that after a few conversation like that, he said, "Are you some of a religious people?" That kind of different. So I, well, little girl said, yeah, I am a pastor. Yeah, see, I know that you're different. I see. Wow. What it means is that Christian is different. All through his life, he seldom engaged with religious people like this. So church, we do live out differently. I hope that not only our lives that will show people that we are different, we also have that privilege to pray for one another. Something that this world really needs. That we do pray for one another. In a sense, is that Jesus Christ glorify in us and we in him. Glorify Jesus' name is that putting Christ's reputation directly back to him. I mean, in this whole world, especially Canadian context nowadays, that we put God is in really low profile. So church, let us live it up. Live our lives out so that people will see that we are different. We are not just religious. We belong to God. So may the glory of God be the focus of our prayers. And let him move within us. And let us live and move and have our being in him. Not just one time. Not just during the church time. It's every day. And as the moon reflects the sun, the light of the sun, so as we reflect the glory of God in us. So real joy comes in seeing our prayers align with God's work in the world. Abide in the Word of God. Meet the Lord moment by moment. This is my prayer for every sea, for everyone in every sea. is that we meet the Lord moment by moment. As a pastor in the past, I always encourage people to do have quiet time, to have a confine a certain space, certain time of your 24 hours to just be alone with God. But let me tell you, let me confess to you that this is kind of wrong. How could I confine God to this certain part of my life, certain time of the day? Of course, if you do have that devotion practice, so be it. Go for it. But for me, other than that little flame, that's early in the morning when I get up, before saying good morning to Charlotte, get to the desk, open the Bible with half closed of my eyes, and then do my devotion. But I do encourage each one of you. I already jump out from that box. Is that already jump out from that flame? Is that do believe that have the quiet time with God from time to time. Say praises to Him from time to time, moment by moment. And ask for forgiveness moment by moment. Asking for thankfulness, I mean the give thanks to Him moment by moment. Even ask for supplication moment by moment. Where is then is the time that we could meet God? Is the quiet place with Him. Once through prayer, we could always meet God. So do encourage you. If you are a fantastic doer in your work, in your school, in your household, do find time. Instead of waiting people to lay hands and pray for you, you do yourself. And then let Paul as the model constantly pray for one another. May the Lord bless each one of you. Amen.